In the world of advanced therapies, manufacturing a single patient dose can involve over 50 manual steps. But what if you could automate that entire process, cutting manual labor by over 70%? That's not a future prediction. It's a capability being rolled out this week, and it's changing the competitive landscape for every biotech and pharma manufacturer in the West. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in biomanufacturing. The theme is orchestration. We're moving from siloed manual processes to integrated, automated, and distributed systems. We'll cover the rise of end-to-end automation in cell therapy, the software platforms making it possible, and how these same principles are facing down cost and regulatory hurdles in the cultivated meat industry. The bottom line? The factory of the future is being built now, and falling behind is not an option.
Let's start with that 70% reduction number. It sounds revolutionary. What's the technology driving this?
That figure comes from Miltenyi Biotec, as reported by BioProcess Online on June 18th. They've integrated six key T-cell production steps into a single automated closed system. This is part of a larger trend. Pierre-Alain Ruffieux, the CEO of Cytiva, emphasized ahead of the BIO 2026 convention that standardization and automation are now imperative for scaling cell and gene therapies.
So this isn't about one company, but a whole industry push to automate complex, life-saving treatments. Why is this specific development so critical globally, right now?
Because the complexity and cost of manual processes have been the primary barrier to widespread patient access. Automating these workflows directly tackles the high costs, the risk of human error, and the batch-to-batch variability that plagues the industry. It's the key to making these therapies reproducible, scalable, and commercially viable.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For U.S. and European manufacturers, this raises the bar for competition. Companies like Miltenyi Biotec in Germany are setting a new standard for efficiency. A Western manufacturer still relying on heavily manual open processes will be uncompetitive on cost, quality, and turnaround time. They face a clear threat if they don't invest in these automated closed systems. The opportunity is for those who can integrate these platforms to become leaders in contract manufacturing.
What about the trading companies and distributors in the life sciences supply chain?
They need to realign their portfolios. The demand will shift from individual components for manual processes to integrated, modular manufacturing platforms. They should be securing partnerships with the platform providers like Cytiva and Miltenyi and positioning themselves as integrators and service providers for these new complex systems. Sourcing will be less about pipettes and more about automated bioreactors and software licenses.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
Executives in the cell and gene therapy space must immediately evaluate their five-year manufacturing strategy. The question is no longer if you should automate, but how fast and with which platform. They should be piloting these integrated systems now to build expertise. Otherwise, they risk being locked out of the next generation of biomanufacturing.
Troy, you mentioned software licenses. It sounds like hardware automation is only one piece of the puzzle. What's happening on the digital side?
Exactly. This level of automation is impossible without a sophisticated software layer to manage it. This is the core of Pharma 4.0. On June 12th, Benchling launched a key part of this stack, Benchling BioProcess, a cloud-native platform designed to manage the entire development lifecycle, from process design to data visualization.
So this is about connecting the lab to the factory floor, digitally. Why is that a big deal this week?
It's a big deal because it directly attacks data silos. Historically, data from R&D didn't translate smoothly to manufacturing, creating massive bottlenecks during scale-up. Benchling's platform uses an ISA 88-compliant data model. That's an international standard for batch control, which means data can flow seamlessly from a small research bioreactor to a large-scale production facility. It enables the use of AI and digital twins to predict and optimize manufacturing before you even run a physical batch.
Let's talk about the impact on manufacturers. How does a platform like this change the game for a U.S. or European biopharma company?
It dramatically accelerates their speed to market. A European manufacturer can now use this cloud platform to have their R&D team in Switzerland collaborate in real time with their process scale-up team in Ireland. They can use AI to model the process, reducing the number of costly pilot scale runs. Companies not adopting these integrated data platforms will be slower, less efficient, and more prone to scale-up failures.
And for trading companies and distributors, is this a threat to their business?
It's a pivot. For distributors who just move physical goods, it's a threat. But for those who can offer services, it's an opportunity. They should look at becoming value-added resellers or integration partners for platforms like Benchling or the AI-powered QC SaaS platform being developed by Nthrice. They can provide the training, validation services, and support that manufacturers need to implement these digital systems.
So the actionable insight is to embrace the digital transformation. What should an executive do now?
A manufacturing executive needs to appoint a head of bioprocess digitalization, if they haven't already. Their immediate task should be to audit the company's data infrastructure and create a roadmap for adopting a unified, cloud-based platform. The goal is to create a single source of truth for all process data, from discovery to commercial production. Without it, you cannot leverage AI or digital twins effectively.
We've talked about automating the process and digitizing the data. How is this changing the physical footprint of manufacturing itself?
It's leading to a strategic decentralization. Bioprocess International has been reporting heavily on this, with roundtables on June 15th and 17th advocating for a move away from massive centralized facilities for autologous or patient-specific cell therapies. The new thinking is a distributed hybrid model.
A distributed model? You mean smaller factories closer to patients?
Precisely. The logistics for autologous therapies, where you take a patient's cells, manufacture a therapy, and return it to them, are a nightmare for a single central facility. The lead times are long and the supply chain is fragile. A distributed or hub-and-spoke model places smaller automated manufacturing pods or regional hubs closer to hospital networks.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
This is a direct response to the N equals one, or one patient, one batch challenge. A U.S. manufacturer could have a central hub for process development in Boston, with smaller automated spoke facilities near major cancer centers in Houston and Los Angeles. European companies like CCRM and Omnia Bio in Canada are already partnering with firms like Avectis to evaluate platforms specifically for this model. This approach can slash delivery times and costs, a huge competitive advantage.
So for trading companies, this sounds like a whole new logistics and equipment market.
It is. This isn't about shipping to one massive factory anymore. It's about outfitting and servicing a network of smaller, highly automated sites. Trading companies should be developing expertise in modular, factory-in-a-box solutions. There's a new market for quality systems, digital orchestration platforms, and logistics that can manage a complex distributed network while maintaining central oversight and quality control.
What's the actionable insight for an executive hearing this? Should they scrap their plans for a new central plant?
They should critically reevaluate them. For autologous therapies, a large centralized facility may already be an outdated concept. Executives should task their teams with modeling the total cost and delivery time of a distributed network versus a centralized one for their specific therapy. The future isn't about one big factory. It's about a smart, resilient, and responsive network.
Troy, these themes of cost reduction, automation, and scaling aren't just in pharma. We're seeing the exact same story play out in the cultivated meat industry, aren't we?
Yes, it's a parallel evolution. The Cultivated Meat Institute reported on June 18th that the industry has achieved a greater than 99% reduction in the cost of cell growth media over the last decade. This was the single biggest barrier to commercialization.
That 99% number is staggering. What's the technology behind it?
A key innovation comes from companies like Iceland's ORF Genetics, reported on June 18th. They've engineered barley to produce animal growth factors. This plant-based production method is dramatically cheaper than traditional bioreactor-based methods. It's a game changer for bringing the price of cultivated meat towards parity with conventional meat.
But technology is only half the battle. This week also brought news of major market challenges.
Correct. While the USDA approved cultivated chicken sales in 2023, a June 17th report from Pet Food Industry highlights the regulatory patchwork in the U.S. States like Alabama and Florida are passing laws to restrict or ban the sale of these products. This creates a deeply inconsistent and challenging market for producers.
So how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers in the food tech space?
For U.S. manufacturers like Upside Foods and Good Meat, it means they cannot plan a national rollout. They face a state-by-state battle, which complicates supply chains, distribution, and marketing. For European companies like Mosameat, who are pursuing EU approval, it's a cautionary tale.
they have the opportunity to learn from the U.S. experience and advocate for a unified regulatory framework across the EU from the outset.
And for trading companies and distributors looking at this new food category?
They face uncertainty. They need to be agile, focusing on markets with clear regulatory approval, like Singapore, Israel, and the UK, as Mark Post of Mosameat noted on June 12th. Sourcing decisions should favor producers who have a clear strategy for navigating this regulatory complexity and who are leveraging cost-reducing technologies like ORFs. Market timing is everything here.
What's the actionable insight for an executive in the cultivated meat sector?
The insight is twofold. First, double down on cost reduction technology. Price parity is the ultimate goal. Second, and just as important, invest heavily in regulatory strategy and public engagement at both the federal and state or regional levels. The technology can be perfect, but without a clear path to market, it's worthless. A proactive, transparent regulatory strategy is a core business function, not an afterthought.
A lot to process this week, Troy. If you had to boil it down, what are the key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
I see three clear directives. First, embrace end-to-end automation. As we saw with Miltenyi Biotech, integrated closed systems are the new baseline for efficiency and quality in biomanufacturing. Relying on manual processes is now a significant competitive liability. U.S. and European firms must invest to keep pace. Second, build a unified digital core. Platforms like Benchling are demonstrating that integrated data is the key to unlocking the speed and predictive power of AI and digital twins. Your data strategy is now your manufacturing strategy. And third, rethink your physical footprint. For personalized products, the distributed hub-and-spoke model is emerging as the most resilient and efficient path to scale. Centralization is no longer the default answer.
So the action items are clear. Automate your process, unify your data, and decentralize your footprint where it makes sense.
Exactly. Executives should be tasking their teams to build roadmaps for all three. The companies that orchestrate these elements effectively will lead the next decade of advanced manufacturing.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. We're here to help you separate the signal from the noise and turn today's technology developments into tomorrow's competitive advantage.
Thank you for joining us. We encourage you to subscribe to the podcast on your platform of choice so you never miss a briefing. We'll be back next week with more analysis of the trends shaping your industry.